Hello, seafood friends. I'm Amanda Buckle, and you're listening to Catch the Current, the coolest seafood podcast out there from the team at Undercurrent, bringing you everything from the boats to the boardrooms, breaking down the news, spilling a little industry fish oil, and sharing the sharp market insights you need to know. My co-host Lauren Castiglione is on vacation, and while she has every right to her time off, I do want to say that it was poor timing, considering that news broke this week that Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce served lobster meat at their wedding.
Well, I'm always happy to fill in and talk T-Swift with you, Amanda, because if there's anyone that could shell out for lobster meat prices right now, it's Tay-Tay.
Undercurrent Senior Price Analyst Gary Morrison, where did you come from?
I'm always waiting in the wings to hop on the podcast with you.
Count me in too, especially when there's lobster meat involved.
And there's UCN America's editor, Jason Huffman. If I can't talk about Taylor and Travis's wedding with Lauren, you guys are definitely the next best thing. So let's break it down. The big day finally arrived. New York City streets were shut down on July 3rd as Madison Square Garden was transformed into a wedding wonderland. Now, official photos of the nuptials still haven't been released as of Thursday, July 9th, but we've got plenty of paparazzi shots from everything and everyone arriving at the venue. And that's how we got one of our fun headlines this week. A Canadian lobster producer got some unexpected worldwide exposure when a photo taken by Reuters news agency went viral. It showed boxes bearing the name, oh, I'm going to butcher this, maybe somebody else's French is better, Pêcherie Léomar.
I think that's right.
Yep. Yeah. From the Magdalen Islands. It was being carted into the venue by an employee for helper in steak and seafood. Now, one of the co-owners of the Canadian Lobster Company told Radio Canada that they didn't know their product would end up being served at the wedding, but that the phone has been ringing off the hook since.
I'd imagine so. The exposure has to be good for harvesters in Quebec who ran into some issues in May and June due to whale sightings. Undercurrent reported last month that Canada's Department of Fisheries and Oceans has temporarily closed areas affecting about 100 fishing boats. We have preliminary data from DFO, which shows that in 2025, Quebec's lobster harvesters landed around 16,800 metric tons, worth $203.6 million. That's a sizable chunk of the lobster harvested across Canada. The Prince Edward Island Fishermen's Association, which represents the majority of the province's lobster harvesters, has been advocating for smaller grid sizes for closures in order to reduce the impact on the industry. So we'll see if anything changes next season, but the spring seasons are winding down in Canada. They're running out of time. Some lobster fishing areas closed on June 30th. Meanwhile, in the U.S., in the state of Maine, the catch is slowed as lobsters begin to shed, leaving less product available to meet stronger buyer interest. Gary, I'm interested to hear what the latest you've been hearing in the U.S. wholesale market.
Well, Jason, you've hit on the exact structural shifts that we're seeing. But to round out the picture, here's how that plays out in the wholesale market right now. First, if we look at the Canadian side, with Quebec and Prince Edward Island facing those whale-related grid closures and the spring season winding down, we didn't get the massive influx of early summer inventory the wholesale market usually relies on to build up frozen tail stocks. Now, shift over to the U.S. side, where you talked about Maine. We fit the annual shedder season, as you noted, and because the local catch is transitioning out to soft-shell lobsters, the meat yields are lower, and they don't process well into high-quality frozen tails, leaving available hard-shell product incredibly tight. And finally, you have the Asian export factor that we've been talking about for quite some time. This is the third part of the squeeze in the lobster market. A lot of the hard shell Canadian product that was landed isn't even making it to the processing tables for tails or meat. Instead, there's a massive pull from Asian markets, especially China, now that the 2025 tariffs on Canadian seafood were lifted early this spring. Exporters are aggressively moving live and whole frozen formats to Asia to fulfill that renewed demand. When you take that international draw and stack it up against lower domestic landings, it explains exactly why processors are short of product and replacement costs are climbing. It's particularly acute in the larger size tails. So we're starting to see prices surge in the wholesale market, not only for tails, but meat as well. Buyers are left short of needs right now.
I can likely talk another 10 minutes about Taylor's wedding. But since I have you both here, let's talk about the latest shrimp import data that came out for May.
Well, Amanda, the free fall is over. After nine consecutive months of year-on-year shrimp import volume declines, more shrimp was imported in May 2026 than in May 2025. The U.S. imported close to 70,000 metric tons of shrimp worth $592 million in May 2026. That's 7% more volume and 5% more than the just over 65,000 tons worth $562 million that was imported in May 2025. It also happened to be the best month for shrimp imports since July 2025, when the U.S. imported about 72,500 tons worth $628.6 million. It all comes down to really one country, Ecuador. The U.S. saw a big increase in shrimp imports from Ecuador year on year. It brought in a little over 29,019 tons of shrimp worth $214.3 million from a Latin American country. That's a whopping 45% increase in volume and a 44% increase in value year on year. But then on the other hand, India, Indonesia, and Vietnam, the U.S.'s three other top shrimp suppliers, saw their exports to the U.S. decline in May.
You know, you win some, you lose some. And when it came to U.S. President Donald Trump's tariffs, India got crushed by a 50% tariff. You know, that tariff is no longer in place since the U.S. Supreme Court ruled it to be illegal in late February. But is India still feeling that, Gary?
It is. I mean, a major impact of the large initial tariff was India delayed their harvest for this year, which pushed back supply. Indian farmers heavily delayed stocking their ponds earlier this year due to the extreme off-season supply shortages and steep farm gate price drops. The primary vaname harvest in key regions like Andhra Pradesh didn't truly ramp up until mid to late spring. Given processing times and the shipping to the U.S., we won't see a significant influx of that new crop until late summer, early fall this year. But as you can see from the latest import data, Ecuador's surge is reshaping the import market, like Jason mentioned. While overall U.S. shrimp imports have seen a slight softening this year compared to the heavy front loading of 2025, Ecuador is aggressively expanding its footprint. Ecuador's shipments to the U.S. jumped 5%, and a lot of that growth in traditional forms that India was a large partner to the U.S., like peeled and easy peeled. So they're making inroads into areas that they traditionally did not. Then you have the China diversion ripple effect. Essentially, China suspended import declarations for products shipped on or after June 30th from seven Ecuadorian shrimp processing plants, likely due to concerns about sodium metabisulfite residues. And that means there's an increased flow from Ecuador to the U.S. But that forces all origins to feel the heat, because even Indian producers have to get competitive with that large influx of supply. So put together, and the global overproduction has been driving prices lower on the U.S. wholesale market, as U.S. importers can dollar cost average and pass along some of those savings to the consumer.
Gary, I keep asking this question every time we talk about shrimp, and I guess it's because I'm such a skeptic. When you see something that seems so incredible as the way Ecuador overtook India, it just makes you scratch your head. India was the U.S.'s top shrimp source for years and years, way ahead of Ecuador. It was only after those 50% tariffs in August that changed. Do you see Ecuador being able to maintain that dominance after the tariff situation settles down, if it ever settles down? Or do you think it's still strongly possible that India regains its position on the throne? And might not the whole China issue play a factor in that?
Yes and yes, right? So it all depends. I know people don't, you know, typically like that answer, but it depends on, you know, a couple of things. I mean, you can talk about the tariffs in 2025, Jason, but it really dates back to COVID, when Ecuador was forced to find a different trading partner, and the U.S. was able to step up because of logistics and transportation. So they found a willing partner, willing to pay good money for their product. And they've continued to meet the needs of the U.S. consumer. So we see a lot of investment down in Ecuador in capital investment in plants and processing to product forms that they typically didn't ship here to the U.S. And it's only grown. So while it was forced during COVID, certainly the tariffs and, you know, some other things, you know, led to where we are today. And then India, right? So, you know, the exact opposite happened. They found different trade partners during this time of high tariffs, and the EU being, you know, one of the ones, and they're making a concentrated effort to diversify their customers as well, so they're not left holding the bag if something happens again. So can it happen? I think Ecuador can maintain its leadership, but I know India shrimp that they want to sell. And the U.S. is a great trade partner, and we've been a great trade partner with them, for years and years and years. So they certainly want back into this market, and I think it'll shift slightly, and remain to be seen where market share lies in the years ahead.
I frequently think about shrimp as like Game of Thrones. So call me a geek, but I mean this is like dominance. They're fighting over who owns the US market, which is exciting.
Now, Jason, I know you love diving into this data, and this month, Undercurrent added a shiny new tool for you to use.
Yes, I've been really eagerly waiting for this to happen. It's true. Undercurrent, for the first time, can identify the 25 largest U.S. importers of shrimp or other species for a given month and year to date, thanks to the recent acquisition of new data from the U.S. Customs and Border Protection. Other charts and tables are producing using data maintained by the Census Bureau. You can now get this information through your Undercurrent Pro subscription to gain access.
All right, I've got one more story that I want you guys to weigh in on this week. Walmart has cut prices on dozens of fresh, frozen, and shelf-stable seafood products as part of a broader summer pricing campaign that President Trump is praising and also taking credit for. He posted on his Truth Social account on Monday that Walmart will be lowering prices by a lot at his administration's request to celebrate America's 250th birthday. Now, the Arkansas-headquartered company said it is lowering prices on thousands of items throughout its more than 5,000 Walmart and Sam's Club stores. The press release didn't mention any seafood, but I did my own digging and a little shopping of myself and found some rollback deals across shelf-stable, fresh, and frozen. Now, let me hit you with these sales, and you guys tell me if you're impressed by this birthday gift. A 12-ounce bag of Great Value brand frozen raw colossal peeled deveined tail on shrimp was originally priced at $8.86 a pound, but it is now $7.74 a pound. That's a savings of $1.32. Is it going in your cart?
I'm kind of a shrimp snob. I like wild-caught shrimp, and I'll take it from different countries. It doesn't have to be the U.S. So that's probably farm shrimp. I'm probably not going to get it.
Okay, Gary.
Oh, I mean, it's shrinkflation at its best, right? 12-ounce bag. Typically, you had pound bags. But if you ask anyone in the industry, I think they would say that it's about time that some of the savings for shrimp, as we've been in a significant downtrend at the U.S. wholesale level for quite some time, are being passed on to the consumer at the retail level. This business has been missed as food service has really been driving sales. But for me, it's definitely going in the cart. I can prepare shrimp in many different ways.
You know, I'm glad that you mentioned like that it's usually by pound. Just notice this is so silly. On an iced tea that I usually buy, it's usually a 64 ounce. And I just put a 59 ounce in my cart and I just noticed it. And it was 20 cents cheaper, but I was like, wait a second, this is not the normal, like, you know, like you're used to buying a 64 ounce of something. I'm like, where did this 59 come from? And so it's funny that you mentioned that. I'm like, I was, you know, like, okay, a 12 ounce, that sounds great. But I looked at Anne Marie Rorink of 210 Analytics. She publishes her monthly data. Now we're looking at May 2026, but frozen shrimp was at $9.14 a pound average. So yeah, I mean, it's not, you know, again, not a pound, but
Quick, quick math, 12 ounces at 764 is roughly $10 for a pound, right?
all right, so then is that a
So
really a savings? I mean, it's spot on with what
yeah,
the average is.
I think we'll take any savings right now. I think most consumers would say that when they go to the food store, right? So
It's
$1.32 off a
less
bag.
than what they were charging before, apparently. So
Yes,
yeah.
exactly.
Now I got another one for you. Walmart's private label brand MarketSide, they reduced the price of its skinless Atlantic salmon fillets from $10.41 to $9.26 per pound. That's a $1.15 change. Is that salmon leaving the store with you, Jason?
Yes, and they didn't have to mark it down.
Have paid whatever.
I like Atlantic salmon. I grill Atlantic salmon once a week, so I'm a fan. And yeah, I would probably have gotten it anyhow.
I guess we're complete opposites again because it's a hard no for me. I'll let somebody else prepare my lox or my sushi, and that's the only way I'll eat salmon.
I'm in agreement. I haven't perfected cooking it yet, but I don't mind ordering it out. I just came back from Hershey and I didn't stop because it was a million degrees and I would have boiled. But Hershey Park has the best salmon. It's covered in Heath Bar. Mwah. if you ever go to Hershey Park. But no, fresh salmon, again, from 210 Analytics, this is what Anne-Marie Roerink is reporting. Price per pound for fresh salmon in May 2026 was $11.77 per pound. That was a 2.3% change from a year ago. So 11.77, and I just said on sale for $9.26. That's a heck of a deal.
Amanda, I just want to say, I wish I could follow you around. I wish we lived closer together so I could follow you around when you order these seafood dishes that are so strange. Just so I can make a face every time you do it. You know?
Well, when you're in Hershey, you have to order. They have this. It's called the Chocolatier. It's the coolest restaurant. I think I've talked about it on the podcast before. You have to order chocolate at Hershey. It's like I don't. I think it's illegal not to. They have to incorporate into everything. All right. Well. Before we go, Undercurrent has launched a proprietary China wholesale seafood pricing platform with weekly assessments covering imported species that accounted for nearly $12 billion in trade value in 2025. UCN's China wholesale pricing platform carries proprietary wholesale prices for frozen vaname shrimp from Ecuador, frozen red shrimp from Argentina, American lobster, and so much more. UCN will also add China wholesale prices for Russian pollock and tuna in the coming weeks. All this pricing is published weekly on UCN's platform and included in weekly market commentaries. So the new platform is included in a UCN Pro subscription. And if you don't have access and are interested, we've got a link for you to sign up for a trial in the show notes. That does it for us. Thank you to my co-hosts, Gary Morrison and Jason Huffman, for filling in this week. And don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss a single episode.
Thanks, everyone.